الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولو بسط الله الرزق لعباده لبغوا في الأرض ولكن ينزل بقدر ما يشاء إنه بعباده خبير بصير. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. These days, a lot of people are caught up in risk-related anxiety. Even though a person might be earning a lot, but still they have complaints about their risk, about their finances, about their wealth. Whether a person belongs from a well-off background or a difficult background, this is something which is quite common. We hear these complaints about the risk, we hear these questions and issues that people are facing about the risk and wealth. And what we basically want to look at today is, number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being with Ar-Razzaq. So what does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razzaq? Number two, that how are we supposed to understand this concept of risk, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razzaq? Number three, that what factors will increase our risk, what actions are there in the Sharia which are responsible for increasing our risk, and number four, that what are those things that take away a person's risk, which lessen a person's risk. So these are some questions that we want to look at, and the first is this name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razzaq. Ar-Razzaq means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider of our risk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken upon himself this guarantee, not just for us, but for the entire makhluk, the animals, the plants, the human beings, within human beings, believers, unbelievers, friends, enemies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider of risk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them, Allah says in Quran, that وَقَيِّ مِنْ دَعْبَةٍ لَا تَحْمِلُ رِزْقَهَا. There's so many animals, they don't carry the risk with them. Allahu yarzukuha wa iyyakum. Allah is the one who gives them risk, and Allah is the one who gives you risk also. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, we should understand this principle that all the risk-related matters are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important principle, because normally people think, and a lot of people sometimes they complain precisely because of this, they think someone did something to them, and as a result, their risk has suddenly become less, or some black magic was done, or this was done. So we should always think about this ayat and the fact that this attribute of Allah, that when we say such a thing, are we actually equating people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give risk to someone, the entire human population put together cannot stop that risk. And similarly, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take away that risk from someone, the entire human race can get together, cannot cause any hindrance in the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why a person, a believer, they don't need to be frustrated about their risk, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has himself taken this responsibility of providing risk to us. It's not a moment's place to be frustrated, and a person, believer, should think that I just needed to put my harakah, I just need to make some action, some amal for my risk, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in that effort, in that harakah, and I will get whatever I'm destined to get, no matter what. The second thing is that our risk also does not lie here in this earth. Allah says, "Wa fis sama'i rizqukum," that your risk is in the heavens. And the moment a person understands this, we realize that in the heavens there is no one can steal our risk. It's not that a person can reach the heavens and take that out. Our risk is protected, preserved, secured in a place where no human beings can get to it. It's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence, a person should be mutma'in that I don't need to do anything which is unlawful, which is haram, which is impermissible in order to get my rizq. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised my rizq for me. I don't need to cheat other people to get more. It won't increase my rizq. And at the same time, no one can snatch that rizq from me. Whatever I'm destined to get, it's there written. It's in the skies. No one can take that away. No one can steal it away. It's protected in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I will get my rizq, whatever I'm destined to get, I will get it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that rizq is there and secured. Then why I just need to confine myself with the halal? I don't need to cheat other people. Don't need to deceive other people. Don't need to dupe other people. I need to stay within the boundaries of the Sharia, and Allah will give me that rizq, which will now become halal for me. And the fact that it's halal, Allah will put more barakah in that. And on the other hand, if I try to cheat other people and I take these unlawful means or interest or other things that are impermissible and are deemed to consume and to get that wealth, then I will maybe get whatever I'm destined to get, but at the same time I will get the bebarakati. I will lose that barakah. That barakah will be taken away, and as a result, that risk will not be able to fulfill my needs and necessities, and I'll always be complaining about my risk. Then the third thing that I have to remember in our Sharia is that this is the beauty of our Sharia. It's extremely gracious, extremely, there's a lot of wusat and flexibility, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take the middle ground. Islam teaches us the middle ground, and this is the deen of moderation. And everything, if you look, there's a moderation. And again, those same teachings of moderation, they apply to risk. So what's the moderation here? There are two extremes. One extreme is that a person totally neglects the world and engages in ibadah all the time. And that is something which is not preferred in Islam. This is known as monasticism, which was there in the earlier traditions before Islam. But the Prophet ﷺ said that La rahbaniyata fil Islam. There's no monasticism in Islam. That's forbidden. Islam does not allow that a person leaves the world completely and goes engages in ibadah all the time. And on the other hand, the other extreme is that a person totally neglects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They totally neglect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deen, Islam, and they devote all their energies to worldly matters, financial matters, towards just attaining wealth and maal. And that is also forbidden in Islam. So one needs to walk the middle ground. A person should work. They should make that effort, some harakah, in order to fulfill their basic responsibilities, and then leave the matter in the hands of Allah, the natija, the results in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, they're not supposed to make this world the be all and end all of their existence, of their life. They have a higher maqsad, and that maqsad is ibadah, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their rizq and their wealth is just a means to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the middle ground. So that's why one's and we can see this in so many different ways in our tradition, in our deen. Once there was a person who came to meet the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ shook hands with him, and the Prophet ﷺ noticed that his hands and his skin rather was extremely hard and rough, and asked him why. And he said that I'm a laborer. I do hard manual labor, work with stones to earn my living. And then the Prophet ﷺ smiled at him and said, Al-Kasibu Habibullah, means that a person who strives for his family is actually doing ibadah. Kasibu, a person who's doing rizq, kasb halal, earning rizq halal, is actually doing ibadah. It's actually part of deen. And such a person is Habibullah, he's beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person should work to fulfill their basic responsibilities. That's part of our deen. There's a story about a pious servant of Allah, Shaqiq Balkhi rahmatullah, who wanted to travel to another city for the need of earning. And he went with his friends, but he came back after a few days. And then his teacher Ibrahim Adam asked him the reason why did he come back so quickly. And he replied that when I was on my way, I saw an injured sparrow which couldn't fly. And a healthy sparrow came and gave it food. So I thought to myself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who can give rizq to an injured sparrow. He can surely give rizq to me. So I came back. And then his teacher said that don't compare yourself to an injured being. Work like a powerful man and earn so that you can feed yourself as well as other people. Instead of being dependent on other people, you should become powerful and qawi. Allah loves qawi mu'min. So that you can then feed other people. You can feed the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sharia does not say that you're supposed to remain helpless and do nothing. A young man should not be such that he's sleeping and not fulfilling his duties. In fact, another hadith stands by the Prophet ﷺ said that this is faridatun ba'd al-fariza, that to earn a halal livelihood is also fard after the other farais, which are the five pillar, the prayers and zakah and those obligations, which means that a person should not miss their salah in order to earn rizq halal. Person should not let go of their fasting in order to earn. They should be careful about their zakah, about their other obligations, because this farida, earning a halal living, is ba'd al-fariz. And this is the beauty of the Deen of Islam, this balance that we have, that a person should not leave their fara'is in order to earn. Person should not be careless and neglectful about their fara'is, about their salah, for example, about their jummah, about their zakah. And this is important because this matter of rizq and stomach, what you're feeding, it's not just for this life, it's also for the afterlife, the grave. If a person lives in this world in a state of disobedience to Allah, then Allah mentions food that they will get in Jahannam with zakum. Inna shajarata zakum ta'amul athim kal muhli yaghli fil butun. That he will get this, and what will he get to drink? Eating and drinking will also be a necessity there. So, in this matter of risk, a person should be very careful about the halal and the haram. And then at the same time, this risk should not become our maqsad, our goal. And this is something which, today, a lot of these self-help books and management and books and food management and nutrition management, they also write, and this is something which the ulama also have written, that a person needs there's enough food. And if you look at the stomach of a human being, it's very small. It gets filled with about two rotis. And if the stomach was bigger, then one might have to worry about filling it constantly. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us moderation. Our needs and necessities are not that much in terms of food. In one hadith, Mubarakah, the Prophet ﷺ said that that stomach which is often full in this world will often remain empty in the akhirah, which means that this food should not be the goal of life. It's a necessity, and we should fulfill this and view this as a necessity and work towards fulfilling this necessity of our life, but not make this the goal of our life, the purpose, the overarching maqsad. And the ulama have written that the one who has this habit of filling his stomach continuously, his advice doesn't have that effect on others. The advice and guidance of others doesn't affect him either. So rizq is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the next point to understand is that sometimes this rizq might be closed because of our own sins. So if we feel some problem, financial problem, so we should think that for every small thing that we are doing, it's not someone has done something to me, magic or this or that or the other, some asr or nazar. And sometimes people run after these things and they destroy their own iman. It's not because of these things, it's because of some amal that we have done, some action, some disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of which there is a negative consequence in our rizq. Like if there's a darkness in the room, we think that the door and windows are closed. He doesn't think that somebody has done some action on him and that's why there is darkness. Just gets up, opens the window, lets the light in. If there is no fresh air, he opens the door. So we should also think that if we're in a bad situation regarding our risk, what are those doors? Maybe we have closed those doors. And how can we open those doors? And I'm going to come back to these doors, the doors that can open our risk and the doors that can close our risk. What are those doors? But before we come to that, again, this wealth, this part of moderation in our deen, that wealth is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to work for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called this wealth as khair in the Quran. This is khair. This is khair because this can help a person's iman, they can help that person in their deen, they can help that person in achieving closeness to Allah, in fulfilling the maqsad, the purpose of their life. So it's called khair. This wealth is also called qiyamah. Quran has called two things as qiyamah. One is Baytullah, that Baytullah Sharif, the Kaaba, Baytullah, the sacred house, has been made a qiyamah, qiyamah linnas. It's a place which a standing for the people. Baytullah is the basis for the qiyam of the spiritual life of a human being. And wealth is also called qiyamah. Allah says that do not give the weak-minded your property. Ja'ala Allahu lakum qiyamah. That property which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a means of sustenance and support for you. So this wealth is also a basis for the qiyam, qiyam of the physical life, the physical side of a human being. And that's why wealth is important in our life. And especially in this day and age that we're living in, wealth can sometimes become an obstacle to a person's iman. If a person doesn't have wealth, they're considered to be like a handkerchief. People can throw them away. He has a hand, you know, they have no standing whatsoever. So, and that's the state, you know, that's the condition of a poor man, unfortunately. They have no standing at all in society. So for dini people, it's important that we come back and restore ourselves to this balance, right? In this matter of risk, there has to be a balance that a person works towards it with lawful ways, viewing this as a necessity and a need, and having pious intention that I want to use this wealth as a means of drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, we're not supposed to make this wealth our project, our goal, our purpose. And additionally, in the matter of risk, there are two things that are important. One is that risk also seeks the human being. This is part of our aqidah, part of our iman, that risk seeks that human being. Just like death searches for a human being, the risk also seeks for a, they also search for that individual. But the risk is faster than death and reaches that person before death. So risk, it's we think it's you know, we think that we are searching the risk. The hakikat is exactly the opposite. The risk is searching for us because Allah has taken upon Himself the responsibility to provide a risk to us. And this risk will reach us. It's we'll always seek that human being out. And the second is that the person who earns his wealth through unlawful means, especially interest, then that wealth, the barakah is lost from that wealth. And that wealth, not just the barakah, but sometimes that wealth is also taken away from that individual. Why? Because this interest is something which is very despicable in the sight of Allah. Allah says in Quran that Allah, He wages war with such people. Allah wages war with such a person. Such a person is actually waging war with Allah and His Messenger. And this is a war that nobody can wage and win. And only we will hurt our own selves if we try to consume interest or unlawful means to earn our wealth. It's like whoever bangs his head against a mountain of stone will only break his own head. So that's another thing we'll be very careful about, that a person tries to protect themselves from unlawful means of earning. And one is this interest, that a person avoids that in whatever form and shape. whether it's about their business or it's about their engagement with the bank. Because whoever starts engaging in this, they lose that baraka, they also lose that wealth. And on the opposite, whoever starts drawing zakat and giving zakat and sadaqat, Allah starts multiplying that wealth. It's the opposite. The reality is the opposite. Zakat and sadaqat will put barakah in your wealth. What is barakah? Barakah is that Allah will make that wealth kafi for you. Kafi, wafi, shafi for him. He doesn't need to spread his hand before strangers. He lives a peaceful life. They have contentment. Allah gives them sufficiency. And that wealth is enough for that person and the needs of that person and his family. So this wealth, again, that's the balance. This wealth should not be made, the money and the risk should not be made our project of life. This was, and unfortunately, this is the fitna of this day and age. Many Muslims also, this is the top thing on their mind. It's like Karun used to say, people used to look at the wealth of Karun. And they would say, Ya layta lana mithla ma utiya Karun. That, oh, how we wish that we would have been given that same wealth as Karun. And we'll see people around us with all this wealth and glitter and glamour. And sometimes a person gets that temptation in their heart. And Allah is teaching us that. This is the fitna of mal and wealth. And a person should be careful. Because Karun, what happened to his wealth? Karun was not able to enjoy that wealth. And Allah says in the Quran that we have proportioned this risk for you. And we have given you whatever is best for you. That ayah which I recited at the beginning, Allah says that if He had given you more wealth, perhaps it would have led to rebellion. You would have become rebellious of Allah. You would have become arrogant and you would have become distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that would have been a greater tragedy that a person left Allah. So Allah knows whatever is khair for us. Again, this goes back to Allah being Al-Hakim. Allah knows what is hikmat. Allah's decision has hikmat. And this decision of how much wealth we need and how much wealth Allah has decreed for us, there is hikmat in that. There is behtri. There is goodness in that. There's khair in that for us. Allah has given us that which is sufficient for our needs and something which will help us remain on this path towards Allah. Perhaps if Allah could have given us more, we could have gotten that extra wealth, but then maybe our children would have become rebellious or disobedient, or our spouse would have become disobedient, or maybe we would have become away from this path of Allah, become heedless of the ahkam of the deen. So we accept this distribution of wealth because this is coming from Allah. We should not look at the Zahiri, we should look at the Allah who's Ar-Razzaq. He is the provider, he is the sustainer, he is the giver of risk. He has proportioned, distributed this risk. Yes, we have to earn that risk, we have to sweat, we have to make that effort. But at the end of the day, the risk will come not because of our efforts, but because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The natija, the result is in the hands of Allah. And when we get that risk, then we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not become arrogant because I got this risk because of my efforts, but rather, Allah, you gave this risk to me. Whatever we get, any risk, we should attribute it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I missed, there's another point we should mention here. Risk is not simply wealth and mal and money. In Islam, risk is everything. Everything that a person needs to succeed. In every aspect of their life, you have a risk. Students, their risk is their knowledge. And in deen, our risk is Allah's ma'rifah, Allah's love. For people working, their risk might be the wealth. So we have different people have different risk. And all of us, we need these different kinds of risk. And Allah is Ar-Razzaq, He's the giver of all those risks. So any blessing and bounty we get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be thankful. We should give it back to Allah. Give it in the sense we should ascribe it to Allah, attribute it to Allah. That I got this not because of my effort. I got this because of Allah. Sometimes we see this when a person goes for an interview and they fail that interview and they didn't get that job. They say that Allah ki marzi, that it was Allah's wish that I was not supposed to get this. And then on the other hand, when they sort of get that job and they pass that interview, they ask me this question, I give them this reply, and I give them this reply, I did this and did that. And then someone, I, and I. Right? So in both cases, it was Allah's mercy. It was the wish of Allah. When Allah gave you that job, it was the wish of Allah. And when you didn't get that job, then it was also the wish of Allah. So we should attribute our ni'matay back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's going to protect our ni'matay. And if a person attributes those ni'matay that it is to himself and to his own efforts, then that will take away that ni'matay from us. So we have to have this moderation in our in rizq, right? Our ibadah, wa ma khalaqtul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun. That's the purpose of life. So that's something which should be the overarching framework, our mentality, our approach, whatever you want to call it. This is that ayah, that we have been created. Why? Not to earn, not to work, but the main purpose of our creation is ibadah. Ibadah. Not to earn and amass wealth. Allah doesn't want us. That's not the purpose. That we work like animals from morning to the evening and we lose track of our salah, lose track of our ibadah. No. The purpose of creation is ibadah. And then, in order to get that ibadah, in order to become people of ibadah, our need is rizq. So, we people, when we speak about priority and prioritizing different things. So, the maqsad, the purpose, is always prioritized higher than our needs. So we should prioritize the purpose, and then we should work on our risk. And we should have yakin that whatever risk we will get, it's Allah's responsibility. I just have to make that effort. Once there was a man who complained to the Bayezid Bustami rahmatullah about shortage of risk. And the Sheikh told him that go home and throw out every person whose risk falls under your responsibility. And he then explained to him that no, it's Allah's responsibility to provide your spouse risk. Every person to bring their own risk. It's not that you have to give a risk to them. You are not responsible for their risk. They will bring their own risk. When a person gets married, your spouse will bring her own risk with herself. The children, when they are born, they bring their own risk. We don't need to worry. That's the teaching of Islam. With respect to risk, that of every person, they will bring their own risk because it's Allah's responsibility to give that person his or her risk. So that Shaykh, he said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes all the people in this world my ayal, and He gave me the responsibility to provide for all of them, and at the same time, Allah made all the land into copper, the earth is turned into copper, and not a drop of rain comes down. He says, I wouldn't worry about the risk of my people who are under me. For Allah is the provider and Allah will provide for everyone. This was the level of certainty the early Muslims had in the Zat and the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once he prayed behind someone, and when the Imam made introductions, he asked that, what is the means of your earning? How do you eat? And he replied that, wait, let me repeat my prayer. I prayed behind you. And it seems that you have developed some doubts about the provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should dispel our doubts. We should have yaqeen. Allah is the provider. And Allah is the responsibility. The risk is Allah's responsibility. In here in Pakistan, someone mentioned the price of wheat has gone up. And there was a Bedouin. He said that, we have increased the price for ourselves, but risk is going to come from Allah either way. Huh? Subhanallah, right? That's the level of yaqeen sometimes even common people have, that the price is increased for ourselves, for these people in the market, but risk is Allah's responsibility. He's going to give it to us either way. Whether high price or low price, it's going to reach us. It's going to come from Allah. All right. Now, second question is that how can a person increase their risk? And then finally, we will look at what are the causes for the reduction of risk. So, two questions. First is that how can a person overcome the difficulties in risk? And there are 16 points that are there in the Quran and Hadith, 16 or 17. And we have collected them here. You can think of them as each one of them is a key. Each key opens a door to risk. And we have this keychain which has these 16 keys, everyone opening one door of risk. And this keychain has been given to us by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not by some random stranger. Sayyid al-Awwalin wal-Akhirin, Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That same language we receive the Quran, in that same language we receive these keys, this keychain with 16 keys. So we should listen to these points very carefully, have iman, yakin in them, and then use these keys in our life. First, we need to remember these keys, and then the more and more we open the door with these keys, we'll see more risk in our life. The first key is salah. And salah, to establish salah. Allah says in Quran, wa'mur ahlaka bis-salah wastabir 'alayha, that enjoin salah on your family and be patient in offering them, be steadfast in offering them. La nas'aluka rizqa, that we do not ask you for risk. We don't ask you for something. Nahnu narzuquk, we will provide a risk to you. So in this ayah, Allah is making a promise. And Allah knows how to fulfill a promise. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. No one is more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is making a promise that that house where all the men and women and children, they pray with full preparation, Allah will give them risk. We will give risk to them. So we have to do ihtimam of this, of our salah. And it's not simply that you pray salah, we have to pray well. If if men, they have to prepare well for their salah, pray preferably in jama'ah in the masjid. If women, they pray, they should prefer, their household, they pray in their homes, but they should pray their salah with sukoon, with itminan, not prefer everything else over their salah and then pray salah the last time. They should be prayed with calmness, standing on the musalla, thinking about the salah, thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with concentration, with attentiveness. We should try from our side at least to pray our salah with full attention. And subhanAllah, the ajr, the reward is on the effort, not on the result. In the dunya, they reward you only when you have the result. In deen, Allah will reward you even if you make the effort without any result. That's why the Prophet said that a person who goes with his brother to relieve him of his need, Allah gives him the ajr of 10 years of nafil i'tikaf. Nowhere in that hadith it's mentioned that that person was able to fulfill the need of his brother. It just says that you stepped out with that intention, you made that effort, and then Allah says He's going to give that reward. Same thing here, that we pray our salah with the proper manner, we make that effort, and if we do so, we can see with our own eyes how Allah will open the doors of rizq, open the doors of barakah. Allah is saying, "Nahnu narzukuk." We will give a risk. Hence, we should tell every person in our home, whether they're young or old, pray salah with preparation, because Allah is swearing that I will give you risk. This is the master key for risk. You have the master keys, also the one key which opens everything. This is the master key that a person does ihtimam of their salah, and Allah will solve your financial problems. Second key of risk is istighfar. And we did this before. Allah says in Quran that when a person makes istighfar, Allah forgives that person. Yursilis sama alaykum midrara, Allah sends rain from the sky. Wa yumdidkum bi amwal, and Allah will help you with wealth, with mal, with amwal rather, with monies. Allah will help you with a lot of wealth. And that's why a person should do kasrat istighfar. It comes in hadith that when a person abundantly recites istighfar, Allah changes the sadness into happiness, and Allah changes that difficulty, financial difficulty, with financial ease. Allah gives an exit. وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah gives them risk from where they don't even expect. Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah, he has written that when a person seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their sins, Allah sends rain from the sky And Allah expands, increases the risk of whole communities, of entire societies and nations as a result of this istighfar. Third key of risk is called infaq fi sabilillah, to spend in the way and the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in Quran, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. That وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, that whatever you will spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will definitely give you the return. You will definitely get the return from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It cannot be that you spend in the path of Allah and you don't get a return. That's not possible. Infaq, this word comes from nafaq. Nafaq. For those who have been to Makkah Mukarramah, you have this nafaq. Nafaq means tunnel. Nufuk, nufuk. And tunnel is when someone enters from one side, he can only leave from the other side. There's, you enter and then you leave from the other side. And in the same way, when you get a risk, if you spend it properly, Allah will give you more risk. Allah will further that risk for you. So we should spend our risk on the path of Allah, the wealth on the path of Allah. Allah will give us more risk. And this is the month of Ramadan. One of the things that the Prophet used to increase in this month was sadaqah. So we should try to give more and more sadaqah in this month, get the ajr of sunnah, but also be able to solve our financial problems through this amal. And there's a call that you spend, anfiq yunfaq alaik. You spend and Allah will spend on you. Allah will spend on you. A lot of Sahaba Ikram, they used to say this, that some of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen them for the benefit of some of his other servants. Yani they are the means through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the risk to other people. This is their charter of duty. So whatever Allah gives them, it's not just theirs. They get more than their needs. But the reason they get more than their needs is because Allah wants them to deliver it to other people, to spend on other people. Allah is using them, just like a postman. You have a postman who delivers the post. That post that he is getting, it's not his. He's supposed to deliver it to other people, every house. And if he keeps on delivering it to people right, properly, then he continues with that job. Allah keeps on giving him that salary. Allah keeps him. He keeps on getting promoted. And that postman who fails to deliver the post, he's fired. And you will see that many people, initially when they start their work and business, it goes really well. It's prosperous. And then all of a sudden, everything crashes. And the reason is because what they were getting was not just for themselves. They were supposed to spend it on the creation of Allah, for the sake of Allah, on the miskeen, on charitable causes, on the seekers of knowledge, seekers of ilm, on deen, for the cause of Allah. But they thought that it was just their own money, and they kept that money, they hoarded that money, kept checking their bank balance, that we have million, and now we have billion. And then Allah stopped sending that post from above. And then sometimes people say that there was a time that we could touch soil and would turn into gold. And today we touch gold and turns into soil. Something, and someone has done something on us. Someone has not done something to us. We have done it, right? We had a good job and we were supposed to send, we were supposed to give zakat, give the people their share. That was not our money. That 2.5% was not ours. We were supposed to spend it on the other people. It was their right. And we did not spend that zakat. We did not give other people their right. Allah took that post away from us. So this is a principle that we have to remember, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more and more a person spends wealth on other people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the wealth of that individual. It's like sometimes we give the example of a factory and a cold drink shop. And the shopkeeper is selling cold drinks. His goal is to sell all the cold drinks that he has in his shop. And he's not worried that my shop will become empty. Because he knows the more and more he spends, the more and more he sells those cold drinks, he has a factory behind. And he can get all the supply from that factory. they can replenish the stock. And he's actually happy that I'm selling. So he just wants to expand more and more because he knows the more I sell, the greater I'll be able to get from behind from the factory. And that's exactly how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works here. That the more we spend, whatever wealth we have, the more we spend on the path of Allah, it makes Allah happy. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the factory from behind. Allah gives it to us. Allah gives more and more and more and continues to give us. It's promotion. Allah further increases in our risk and our wealth because we are selling it, we are forwarding it to other people, spending on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember this, that when we spend, Allah will spend upon us. And when Allah will spend upon us, Allah will give us much, much more. We spend something, one fraction, Allah will multiply it and give us much more than what we are spending. In fact, in Quran, Allah says that what you spend one part, Allah will give you 10 in return. For every one, there is 10 that you will get at the very basic level. Once Rabia Basriya, she had some guests visiting her. The maid came and said that there was a knock on the door and a man came with some loaves of bread. She said that, go count how many roti. The maid counted and said there are nine. She said, no, this is not my share. Return it to the man. Tell him to leave. Then there was a second knock. Again, the maid came and said, there is a man brought some loaves. She said, count how many roti. She said, nine. She said, no, this is not my share. Return it to that man. Third time, again, the knock came. Again, the same thing happened. She asked that, how many roti? The maid said, nine. And she said, no, it's not ours. Refuse it. Let him go. And then the maid, she said that, why aren't you taking these rotis? Why aren't you taking this bread? When you need them, you have guests over. And then Rabia Basriya, she explained that in the morning, I had a loaf of bread. A beggar came, I gave it to him for the sake of Allah. And it's my Allah's promise that man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha, that whoever brings forth a good deed, he will be rewarded 10 times like that. Nine loaves cannot be mine. I want 10. And then the maid, she begged for forgiveness and said that I was hungry too. I used that 10th one for myself. Actually, they would bring 10 every time. Such a kamil yaqeen in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our teachers used to say that this is a very basic level iman, 1:10. If we have more sincerity, you can get 1:70. You spend one, Allah will give you 70. And countless number of times we have seen this, you give one, Allah will give you 10. And our teachers used to say that this is just because they used to cry over themselves, that we don't have true sincerity. If we had proper sincerity, as Allah wants us to have, it won't be 1:10. Allah will give us 1:70. That was the level of yakin on this promise of Allah. The 10th you get for a basic level of iman. If you have a bit more conviction on the promise of Allah, you should expect 70 from Him. And then there is no upper limit. Allah can give without any hisab and kitab. There is a halawat in spending. There is a halawat, there is a sweetness in spending in the path of Allah. And he who gets that sweetness, then they have nothing to worry about. They're free from all sorrows. And we make dua to Allah that may Allah give us that sweetness in spending on his path. The fourth key is to emigrate for the sake of deen, to make migration, hijrah for the sake of deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُحَاجِرَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, this is ayat of the Quran, that whoever emigrates in the path of Allah, يَجِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا وَسَعَةً, that Allah will give him, they will get a place of refuge as well an expansion, وَسَعَةً, in their rizq. Then next, fifth key is taqwa. To be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves to be loved. And then because of that love, fear, and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stay away from sins. That is known as taqwa. To adopt piety in our life. And whoever has taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made promises for his rizq. In fact, there is a promise, two ayats. One is a promise for kasrat. And the other is a promise of barakah in his rizq. Kasrat rizq and barakat rizq, both of them. So first, that ayah which is about kasra. Kasra means quantity. Allah will increase the numbers of your wealth. Allah says in Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. That whoever adopts taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them an exit from their difficulty, and Allah will give them a risk on where they don't even expect. Allah will give them risk, expand the risk, the provision of such a person. And second ayah, it's about barakah. Again, people who have taqwa, Allah will give barakah in that risk. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That if only the people of the cities had believed in Allah and feared Allah, had taqwa, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ, we would have opened upon them the doors of barakah, مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, from the heavens and the earth. So there is a promise of kasrat and barakat in our rizq if we adopt taqwa. And this is what the Sahaba Ikram had. Hazrat Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he once went to relieve himself in the woods, and he saw that one mouse came and placed one dinar in front of him, then came back again, placed a second dinar. This kept on going until he had 17 dinars in front of him. And then Sahaba, very simple people, he picked up those 17 dirham dinar, went to meet the Prophet ﷺ, told him what happened. And the Prophet ﷺ made dua for him, that this is, may Allah put barakah in this for you. That this is risk min janibillah. Allah wanted to give you your risk. Allah made that mouse a sabab, a means for you to get your risk. This is taqwa. You get taqwa. When you have taqwa, Allah will give you a risk from where you don't even expect. And we have expectations from our job. That if I work here 9 to 5, I'll get my money from this job, from this place. But taqwa, Allah promises you will get from where you don't even expect. You don't have expectations, Allah will give it to you from that avenue. And that's why Sufyan, Sufyan Sauri, rahmatullah, he would say that adopt taqwa, because I've never seen a muttaqi person as a dependent person in his whole life. I've never seen a person who is muttaqi, pious, and they're running from door to door, begging in front of other people. We have seen this in terms of, other people, but not a muttaqi person. A practicing hafiz or a practicing alim-e-deen, starving and struggling for survival. We have heard the opposite, that in the path of Allah, people passed away because of overeating. Imam Muslim rahmatullah passed away because he ate too many dates. But we can't give one example that they passed away due to starvation. These are the students of the Prophet ﷺ, people who work to deen, pious people, muttaqi people, the ulama, the hufaz, the tulaba, right? People ask that where will they eat from? They will eat from that same dastarkhan of the Prophet ﷺ. And ulama warasatul anbiya, the ulama, the scholars, they're the heirs of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give a risk to the anbiya alayhi salam, anbiya alayhi salam were not doing naukri. They were not working in the dunya in that sense. Allah would give them risk. And the ulama, al-ulama warasatul anbiya, the ulama, also the spiritual sons and daughters of the Prophet ﷺ, they will eat from that same dastarkhan, from that same place as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to give to the anbiya alayhi salam. It's because of taqwa. Taqwa, because of taqwa, Allah gives them access to this key. And they can open this door and get risk whatever they want. They can get kasrat, they can get barakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. Then, number six is kasrat ibadah, abundance in worship. And now we come to some hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said that, O children of Adam, O human, ya ibn Adam, tafarrag li ibadati, free yourself from my worship. Amla'u sadraka ghina, I will fill your heart with ghina, with self-sufficiency. Wa asuddu fakrak, and I'm going to drive away your fakr, your poverty. And look how simple words, very simple, clear, manifest words we are being told, that you do ibadah, Allah is saying, I'm going to fill your heart with ghina, with self-sufficiency. I'm going to drive away the fakr, poverty, from your heart. We can understand this from an example. We have two kinds of horses, a normal horse and a race horse. And the price varies a lot. Price of a normal horse might be, let's say, $200. And a price of a race horse can go all the way up to $2,000, $20,000, $200,000. I'm just giving an example, right, of numbers to explain this to you, but the price varies a lot. A normal horse, $200. A racehorse, $2,000. Now, if somebody goes to the owner of a racehorse and says that I need it for using my donkey cart to sell some vegetables on the street, he will laugh at you. Just the way a worldly person doesn't appreciate using a racehorse and attaching it to a donkey cart, in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also does not like to tie a person who's on the path of Allah to this donkey cart of the dunya. Allah saves that person from the frustrations of the dunya. And that this is my person. He's doing abundance in worship, kasrat-e ibadah. I'll take care of his worldly needs. Allah will open that risk, that door for him. Allah will drive away the fakir, fill that person's heart with sustenance, with ghina, with self-sufficiency. Then the seventh key or the seventh door is abundance of Hajj and Umrah. It comes in a hadith that a person who does Hajj and Umrah in abundance never becomes dependent. And a questioner asked that, Ya Rasulullah, what does this mean, dependence? And the Prophet said that that person will not be dependent on any other person. Allah will take care of that person's risk. Allah will finish the fear of poverty. Another hadith that on the way of Hajj, when a person spends one dirham, for example, one dirham is rewarded by 700 dirhams from Allah. In return for one, Allah gives you, returns 700 to you. And then another hadith that that individual who does Hajj and Umrah consecutively, meaning they do it, they make this the part of their life, they keep on doing it multiple times during their life, then these two things, they wipe away the fakr and sins from that individual. Poverty and sins are wiped away from that person in the same way as furnace, fire, melts away the impurities from iron. So again, we should make a niyat for deen. It's not that we are making niyat of doing Hajj and Umrah because we want to get a rizq. It's a one-way road, right? We should make niyat for deen. You make intention of deen, Allah will give you dunya also. But if a person makes intention for dunya, then a person will not get the deen. So it's a one-way track. We should be careful about that point also here. Number eight is known as Sila Rahmi. Sila Rahmi means that a person joins ties of kinship with their close family members, with their blood relatives. And the Prophet said in the hadith that man ahabba an yuzada fi umrihi, that whoever loves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should increase the age of that person. Wa yuzada fi rizqihi, and the risk of that person. Falyasil rahimahu, then that person should do Sila Rahmi. They should joint ties of kinship. A lot of our problems are because the way we deal with our siblings, our relatives, our blood relatives. So we should be careful about this. According to Deen, saying salam, that is mandatory. Saying jawab to that salam is wajib. But we should be people who say salam to each other and not sever these ties of kinship. If there is some mamla which is a very severe, very intense, still saying salam, dua, asking about everything is okay, that's still part of etiquette. If you don't want to have a very close and near relationship with them, that's up to our choice. We have the freedom. But basic level of salam, dua, asking, that should always be there with our relatives, with our relatives, our close family members, our blood relatives, our. And the Sharia commands us that we should join these ties of kinship. And when a person does that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the risk. And one of these, the Prophet said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants three things. If one has taqwa and they're nice to their relatives, they do good to their relatives. Number one, Allah increases the age, which means that they'll get barakah, long, healthy, old age. Number two, Allah increases their risk. And number three, Allah saves them from bad death, from Sui Khatama. And this risk is so, and the Sila Rahmi, joining ties of kinship, is so amazing. That in one hadith it comes that even if a person is a sinner, even if a person sins against Allah, disobeys Allah, but they practice Sila Rahmi, Allah will give them risk, Allah will increase the risk. A lot of times people get confused that that person is not even close to Allah, but still look at the wealth and the mal. Perhaps the reason is because that person is doing Sila Rahmi. And this is the wa'ad Allah. Again, Allah is Ar-Razzaq. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not simply that Allah will give only to those people who are pious and not to the unbelievers. Allah will give to everyone. These are principles which apply to every person, with iman or without iman. If a person does these actions, you will see Allah will give them risk. Sila Rahmi is one of them. Whether a person is a practice, it doesn't say you have to be a believer to practice Sila Rahmi. And that's why some people, maybe they're not believers, but they're practicing these teachings and Allah is giving them risk because this is a haqiqat. This is a promise made by Ar-Razzaq, who is the giver of risk. These are literally, these are doors. These are keys to unlock those doors. And you can have the keychain given to you by the Prophet, or maybe someone can have these same keys given to them by their own akal and understanding. They realize that this is important, they're doing it and they're getting it. So it's the key, you can have it. You can have it, even someone else can have that key. Once you have the key, then you can open that door. So we have been given this keychain with 16 keys. And it's up to us how we understand, how we apply these keys and how we use these keys to unlock the doors of risk in our life. Then number nine. Number nine is to do tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawakkul means that a person makes that effort, but they leave the result in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. That whoever does tawakkul, whoever relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for that person. Allah is enough for that person, Allah will give it to that person. And in one hadith, the Prophet said that if you have reliance on Allah, like is the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like is the right of Allah, then you will see that Allah will give you rizq the way Allah gives rizq to birds and to other animals. Just like these birds, they leave their home with an empty stomach, they return back with full stomach. That's how Allah's Father is going to feed you if you had reliance on Allah. If you make that effort, but then you leave the result in the hands of Allah, Allah will give you rizq. Then number 10 is to do shukr of the ni'mati of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His blessings, because Allah says in Quran, again, this is a principle. This is a golden principle, la in shakartum la'azidannakum, that whoever does shukr for my blessings, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to increase. Allah says, I'm going to increase the blessings on that person. So whoever gets the tawfiq to do shukr, that person's risk will never reduce. Why? Because Allah has made a promise in the Quran that whoever is grateful to me for my blessings, I'm going to increase my blessings on that individual. So we should do shukr on the ni'mat that we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Ibn Ataullah Iskandari rahmatullah, he had this wisdom, this saying of wisdom, hikam, beautiful. He said this, that man lam yushkir, man lam yushkir, yashkurun ni'ma, faqad ta'arruza li zawaliha. That whoever does not shukr, does not do shukr of the ni'mat from Allah, then it's as if they're presenting that ni'mat to Allah, that Allah, I don't need this, you can take it away. And waman shakaraha, whoever is grateful, does shukr, faqad qayyadu bi iqaliha. It's like that person has trapped that ni'mat with himself. So when you do shukr, you hold on to that ni'mat, and not just hold on to that ni'mat, Allah will multiply, will increase that ni'mat. You see, there is a way you can join the hasanat of the deen and the dunya. You just have to do shukr, Allah will increase that ni'mat for you. This is dunyavi ni'mat, Allah can multiply that for you, put more barakah. So it's not that dunya and deen, the hasanat cannot be gathered. There is a way. We can get the hasanat of the dunya and akhirah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Shukr is one way. Then number 11 is to say salam to one's family members when you come home. Whenever a person comes back, they should say salam to their family members, spouse, their children. It's such a small amal. And this is another key that can open the door of rizq for us. There comes a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that there are three people who are under the guarantee of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has taken guarantee for those three individuals. That if they are alive, Allah will give them a rizq that will be sufficient for them. When they die, they will go straight into Jannah. And among these three individuals, one of them is that individual who enters his home and says salam. Who says salam to the people of his household. Such a small amal, but such a big promise of increasing rizq. And now what normally happens is that in our offices, we are laughing. Outside on the street, we are smiling. Inside the grocery store, we are smiling. In front of our colleagues, we are laughing. But the moment we step inside the home, we say, I don't know what happens to me. I come home, I'm angry. This anger comes from shaitan. Shaitan comes with them. Instead of smiling, saying salam, we come inside and we don't bring that barakah inside with us. We lose that barakah. We lose that opportunity to get a rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that whenever the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to enter the house, he would smile and say salam to his spouse, to his wife. And the same hukum goes for the wife, that she should say salam and meet her husband with a smiling face. Subhanallah, look at the teachings of our deen, so beautiful. If we can live these teachings, Allah is promising not just a happy house, happy home, but also rizq in that home. Number 12 is, the 12th key is obedience of parents. If a person is obedient to their parent and they serve their parent well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to increase their rizq. This is another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that obeying parents and serving them is going to increase the rizq of that individual. Now, obedience means that we obey them in things that are permissible in our deen, not in those things which are khilafi sharia. Because then you have another principle, la ta'ata li makhluq fi ma'asiyat al khaliq, that we're not supposed to obey them in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even then, if your parents are, we should not be badtameez with them, not be sort of disobedient to the extent that we become vulgar and shouting obscenities or saying those things to them. If they're mu'min and pious, we should take care of them, serve them, get their du'as, and get the rahmat of Allah, increase our rizq. And if even if they are unbelievers, still Allah says that was sahibuhuma fi dunya ma'rufa. To deal with them in a gentle way, in a ma'ruf way, in a good way, in an acceptable way. And subhanAllah, if they are people of kalima, then it's a golden opportunity for us to get their du'as through khidma. This is another thing which we make a mistake. For those of us who are parents are alive, it's a big opportunity, a big risk. It's a big key that we have through which we can get a risk in our dunya to get their du'as. Once there's a person who says that I met someone whose prayers were always accepted, mustajab ud-dawat, and I wanted to know which is that amal which gave him this rank. And I told him that I want to spend some time with him. And he took me home. And I saw that there were two pigs who were tied in his house. And I was surprised that such a Allah wala, such a God-fearing person, he has pigs in his house. And I saw that he first gave food to the pigs and then he ate that food himself. And then third day I asked him that why was he doing this? And he said that these are my parents. They committed a sin and Allah Ta'ala changed them into a pig. But they are my parents. And I'll still keep them in my house and I take care of them. I serve them first and then I eat my own meal. And it's because of this amal, this action that Allah gave me, Allah made me mustajab ud-dawat. Then number 13 is to remaining pure and in a state of wudu as much as possible. Some sahaba, they came and they complained to the Prophet ﷺ about poverty, about remaining hungry. And the Prophet ﷺ said that remain in wudu and Allah will expand your rizq. Yusi'u alayka rizq. Allah will give expansion to you in your rizq. So wuzu It's a way to save oneself from shaitan also. Al-wudu'u salahu al-mu'min. And it's also a way through which a person can expand their risk. The Prophet ﷺ pointed out that death will come to you in the way you spend your life. So the one who tries to stay in wudu during their life all the time will inshallah die in wudu also. So if a person wants to die in a state of wudu, you should try to remain and maintain it during the life. It's very easy. It's not that difficult. Whenever wudu breaks, you can go and you can make it up again later, right? You can make it up and you can, again, you know, you can lead such a life. And alhamdulillah, we know so many people, even in this day and age, even people on average, daily, regular Muslims, so many people, alhamdulillah, who are practicing this teaching and they have spent 6, 7, 8, 10 years of their life in a state of wudu. It's just about making an intention and asking Allah for tawfiq, and Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq. It's something which is very much doable in this day and age. Number 14 is praying a particular salah which is known as duha. And in Urdu, we know this as chasht. This is a particular salah which you pray at about 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. in the morning when the sun is so high. The definition is that the camel's hooves start burning because of the heat. That is called Salatul Duha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if a person, Allah wishes that if you offer these two rakat, then I will expand your risk. So normally that's the time for you to go to office and work. And Allah wants that even in this halat, the person should not forget me. And if in this time he can pray two rakah, Allah says, I'm going to expand the risk for you. It's a time when you're busy with work, but if you can take some few moments, 2, 3 minutes out and pray two rakah, Allah makes a promise of expanding our risk. And likewise, the women can also pray this. They should also offer the two rakah when they send their men off for business or jobs or work, and they can make dua that Allah, my husband has gone to work for halal risk. Allah, please place barakah in the efforts. Second last, number 16. The 16th key is reciting Surah Waqia every night. This also expands the risk. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was not feeling well. And Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala paid him a sick visit, asked him if he needed anything. And he said, no. He said, I'll give you some gifts. He said, no, I don't need them. He said, you don't have any son, but you have daughters. The gifts will benefit your daughters. He said, no. He had so much yakin that he replied, look, I've taught my daughter Surah Waqia and they recite it every night before going to bed. And the Prophet ﷺ has said that whoever recites Surah Waqia at night will never be inflicted with starvation. Man qara'a suratul waqia kulli laylatin lam tusibhu faqatun abada, will never ever be inflicted with faqa, with starvation. So we should also try to teach Surah Waqia to our daughters. This is a father. And this is Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala. It was Imam al-Fuqaha, took out time. Such a big faqih and a jurist still took out time to teach Surah Waqia to his daughter. It's a lesson for the fathers. And the last, the 17th key, is there certain du'as that the Prophet ﷺ has taught us. And reciting those du'as can also open up risk for us. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala used to say that once I was financially constrained and I fell asleep with this worry, and then the Prophet ﷺ came to my dream and said that, why do you worry? And I said that I'm worried because of my finances, and said, don't be worried, recite this following dua. And he says that after I recited this dua, I was never financially crunched in the rest of my life. What is that dua? We can give this the Arabic, I think, inshallah. Bismillahi ala nafsi wa mali wa dini. Allahumma ardini bi qadaik wa barika li fima quddira li hatta la uhibba ta'jila ma akharta wa la ta'khira ma ajjalta. Bismillahi ala nafsi wa mali wa dini. Inshallah. Similarly, another sahabi narrated that, Ya Rasulullah, I'm in the condition of debt, some financial problem. I owe some money to different people. And the Prophet ﷺ taught him a dua And that Sahabi says that I recited this dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of my worries, helped me in returning that money that I owed. And what was that dua? That Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzni wa'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasli wa'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhli wa'udhu bika min ghalabati d-daini wa qahri ar-rijal. Similarly, a few short du'as that after Fajr to recite this du'a three times. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an wa amalan mutakabbilan wa rizqan tayyiba. Allah, I ask you for ilme nafi, for makbul amal, and for rizq tayyiba, for pure rizq. Similarly, there is a du'a for barakat in rizq that the Prophet has taught us. Allahumma barik lana fima razaqtana waj'al ghina'ana fi anfusina. That Allah, I ask you for barakah in the rizq that you have given me, and Allah for self-sufficiency in my own self. Make me independent of other people. Likewise, another dua for rizq. Allahumma rizukna min fadlika wa la tahrimna rizqak. That Allah, I ask you for rizq from your fazl, and Allah, don't deprive me of rizq. And in all of these duas, when we make dua for rizq, we should make intention of both the kinds of risk. One is spiritual risk. Make intention for Allah, ilm, iman, hidayat, marifat. That's the spiritual risk. And then we can also make the risk, make the niyat for the other kind of risk, which is our wealth, halal, tayyib, pure food and wealth and money. And inshallah, if we make both these intentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant both of these things to us. A very beautiful dua, which I recently read in one of the books, was some people, when they grow old and they've sort of approached their retirement age, and then they have these worries about, now what will happen to me? So subhanallah, the Prophet has taught us one dua which is exactly for this situation, for people who are approaching retirement age. Allahumma ja'al awsa'a rizqika alayya inda kibari sinni wan kita'i umri. That, oh Allah, when my age becomes old and I'm in my senior years, budhapa, seniority, at that time, Allah, give me risk and give me wusat in risk, expand risk for me, expand it even more. Allahumma jal awsa rizqika. Awsa means, Allah, expand the risk even more at the time when I'm old, in my old age, or when I've approached these years of seniority. So subhanallah, look at the care and the affection that the Prophet ﷺ had for his ummah, that even at that delicate stage of a person's life, when a person might be dependent on other people, they might have some sickness or disease, we don't want to be dependent on others. And the Prophet ﷺ has taught us this dua, that make this dua and Allah Ta'ala will be sufficient for you at that time. Allah will give you rizq, and Allah will give you wusat, expansion in your rizq in that stage. And likewise, there is one dua, one ayat of the Quran, which is Suratul Quraysh. So people who are facing difficulty in their wealth and risk, as after every Fard Salah, to recite Suratul Quraysh, Le'ilafi Quraysh, seven times. And this is also another action which can help bring barakah in our risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we end, very quickly, there are 16 actions which decrease risk of a person. So now that we have understood those factors that will increase risk, there's also, very quickly, we should know those sabab, those causes which are the source of parishani and musiba and the decline and the decrease of risk in our life. There are 16. I'm just going to list them so that all of us, we have these points in front of us. And they're quite self-evident, and there's no need for explanation. Number one, the amal, the action which decreases risk, first is eating while standing. This will reduce the risk of a person. Number two, eating with one's shoes on and with the head uncovered. Number three, going to the washroom with an uncovered head. All of these things are again taken from the Quran and Sunnah. We're just listing them here without reference for now. If a person goes to the washroom without an uncovered head, that also decreases the risk. Number four, talking in the washroom. And some of these things might be very common, right? And we can make a note of these things, which we can sort of work on ourselves and fix. Number five, considering guests to be a burden. Like sometimes we have guests or when we view them to be a burden, that also decreases the risk. Number six, eating food without washing one's hands and without reciting Bismillah. When a person doesn't recite Bismillah, shaitan eats with them, and that takes away, sucks out the barakah. Number seven, not cleaning the plate after eating and having the leftovers and not finishing the food there in the plate. Number eight, discussing worldly affairs in the masjid. Number nine, scolding a beggar. And you can refuse a beggar politely, also with gently. This is that a person scolds a beggar. That also decreases the risk of a person. Number 10, sleeping without any reason after Maghrib Salah, any between Maghrib and Isha. If there is an excuse, a person is tired or they're doing work of deen, then that's separate. But without any reason to make this a habit that a person sleeps after Maghrib, this also reduces the risk. Number 11, making Salah qaza. So we spoke about this, right? A person delays their Salah, miss their Salah, that also reduces the risk. Number 12, and this is very common, telling lies. Telling lies, people have changed the name, that I'm not lying, I'm just telling the truth. But that also, and linked with this is ghibah. Ghibah also reduces the risk of an individual. Ghibah is technically that you're backbiting. You're saying something true, but you're saying something about that person who's not present. Something which, if that person was present in front of you, you wouldn't like it. Backbiting. So telling lies and backbiting, they reduce the risk of a person. Number 14, touching Quran without wudu. And number 16, looking at no, fighting with one's family. Fighting, jagarna, disputing, quarreling, having arguments and fights, picking of fights with the family all the time. This also reduces the risk in that family. And the last one, the second last one, is bad mouthing one's children. And then the last one is getting attracted and addicted to songs and music. Sometimes, people get addicted all the way, right? Cars, houses, radios, TVs. So addiction, attraction to songs also, it reduces the risk of a person. And if you look at this list, maybe some of us would have maybe more than one thing present inside of us. And that's like closing the doors ourselves. So we should try, in summary, then, to do those actions which increase the risk, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being Ar-Razzaq, will open up the risk for us. And simultaneously, we should save ourselves from those things which reduce our risk in our life. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that may Allah ta'ala give us barakah. May Allah ta'ala give us risk, and may Allah ta'ala put barakah in that risk. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. سبحان ربي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا الله يا رب كريم الله you are الخالق مالك ظلمنا أنفسنا Allah, we have done zulm on ourselves. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to remove this zulm. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have allowed ourselves to become distant from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to remove this distance. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, today we realize that Allah, this risk, this problem of risk and finances, that's because of our own aman, because of our own sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ourselves have closed this door of risk upon us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we make tawbah of all the sins that we have done, for all the acts and for all those amal through which we have blocked this risk. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Rabbi, ask you to accept our forgiveness, accept our tawbah, and forgive us for all the sins that we have done. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Rabbi, ask you to open up the doors of rahmah, open up the doors of maghfirah for us, open up the doors of rizq for us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, you are a razzaq. Allah, you are a razzaq, you are the giver of rizq. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us, Ya Allah, to grant us the tawfiq to be able to use all of these means to increase risk in our life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us kasrat in our risk. Grant us wusat in our risk. Grant us afiyat in our risk. Allah, grant us khair in our risk. And grant us baraka in our risk. Allah, grant us that risk which will be a source of afiyat for us, a source of afiyat for our deen, afiyat for our dunya, afiyat for our children, afiyat for our family, afiyat for our akhirah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, and save us from that risk which will be a source of shar for us, a source of death for us, a source that will take us away and distant from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you for the khair, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you for the hasanat of the dunya, the hasanat of the akhirah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, enable us, Ya Allah, to earn halal, rizki halal, rizki halal tayyib. Allahumma inni أسألك علما نافعا وعلما خاشعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا ورزقا واسعا. يا رب كريم, يا الله, we ask you for halal, طيب, pure, wholesome risk, Ya Allah. Allah, enable us to purify our sources of earning, our sources of livelihood, and Ya Allah, also to ensure that the food that we eat and the food that we feed to other, that also is pure, that also is tahir, mutahhar, that also is azka. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, decree for us a life of, that is according to the halal, and save us, Ya Allah, from even one morsel of the haram. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, save us from all the unlawful sources of income, all the unlawful sources of living, all the unlawful sources of earning, from all the unlawful food that is out there. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to protect and preserve us in this matter of our risk. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, enable us and grant us tawfiq to be able to use all of these keys that will help us unlock the doors of risk. Allah, make us people who are steadfast in our salah. Make us people who are qaim, daim in our salah. Make us and all our family members, every single family member, every single member of our home and our houses, Allah, make them qaim, daim on the salah. Allah, the young and the old, the men and the women, Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us the quality in our salah, khushu in our salah, istiqamat in our salah. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to make us people of istighfar. Allah, make us people who remember you abundantly. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people, Ya Allah, who also have this ability to spend on your path. Grant us the tawfiq to be able to spend on your path in your name and for your sake. Make us people who are diligent about our zakat, about sadaqat, about khairat. Allah, grant us the sweetness of spending on your path. Allah, grant us the sweetness, Ya Allah, just like the sweetness that you gave to Sayyidina Rasulullah. Allah, make us also have such an open heart, Ya Allah, that we feel happy in spending on your path, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, to make us muttaqi. Allah, grant us taqwa, a life of taqwa. Decree us taqwa, decree for us taqwa. Allah, grant us taqwa in our dunya, in our deen, in every aspect of our life. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, make us amongst the muttaqeen. And then, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, because of the, grant us the barakat of taqwa in our life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us the barakat, all the barakat in deen, the barakat in dunya, the barakat of akhirah. Allah, grant us all the barakat that you have promised on this ni'mat of taqwa. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us amongst the muttaqeen. Allah, it's your mercy and your rahmah, Allah, that you have promised so many inamat and blessings, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you for your inamat. Allah, we ask you for your blessings. Allah, we ask you for your favors and bounties. Allah, make us people who do shukr of these bounties which you have given to us. Allah, make us people who are grateful, Ya Allah. Allah, make us people who do more and more worship. Allah, grant us the shock of ibadah. Allah, grant us the zawk of ibadah. Allah, make us people, Ya Allah, who tire ourselves in ibadah. Allah, this is the month of ibadah. Allah, grant us the himmat to increase in our ibadah, in all our ibadat, in our salah, in our tilawa, in our dua, in our zikr, in our following the sunnah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us the halawat of ibadat, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us people, Allah, who can also offer hajj and umrah with abundance in our life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, for those of us who haven't And the opportunity to perform Hajj, Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us the sabil and the way of performing Hajj, grant us the resources and the and Allah, make our situation such that we can perform Hajj, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, call us towards your house, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, grant us the risk to be able to perform Umrah every year, multiple times, Ya Allah, in our life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us the sa'adat of Hajj and Umrah every year, Ya Allah, multiple times throughout our life, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Allah, grant us to be able to perform this act of ibadah with the proper khushu, with the proper adab, with the proper diligence, with the proper ilm, with the proper amal and kefiyat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, decree for us, Ya Allah, these ibadat, these sa'adat in our deen, Ya Allah. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us the akhlaq that are pleasing to you. Allah, grant us that akhlaq, that hukukul ibad, Ya Allah, that you want us to have. Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us for all the rights that we have violated in terms of other people. Allah, forgive us for the deficiencies in hukukullah. Forgive us, Ya Allah, for the deficiencies in hukukul ibad. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, enable us to earn this maghfirah for hukukul ibad in this dunya while we're alive. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, if that's not possible, then Ya Allah, we ask you to accept this dua on their behalf, so that this dua becomes a kafara, this dua becomes a compensation. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, save us, Ya Allah, from all the hukukul ibad. Ya Rabbi Kareem, fulfill all the hukukul ibad from our sides, Ya Allah. Grant us that himma, that tawfiq, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Make us people have sila rahmi, have this khulq of sila rahmi, who join time of kinship. Allah, make us people a source of rahat and comfort to our family members, our parents, our spouse, our children, our relatives, our blood relatives, our faraway relatives. Ya Rabbi Kareem, all the people in our family, all the people in our circle. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us a source of khidmah for them. Make us a source that we can serve them, a source of rahat and contentment for them, a source of providing nafa and faida and benefit to them. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us people who are in the state of tahara. Make us amongst the mutatahirin, amongst the tawabin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people among who are the musalliin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, save us from all the asbab that can block this risk from our life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we come to you tonight and make tawbah of all the things that we have done to block this risk. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, expand this risk for us, Ya Allah. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, and Allah, enable us that we can use this risk as a means of drawing close to you, as a means of coming close to you, as a means of increasing in our love for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are our maqsad. Allah, ya, la matlubi illallah, la maqsudi illallah, la mahbubi illallah, la ilaha illallah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, include our names also amongst the mahbubin, amongst the muhibbin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ignite the flame of your muhabba in our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us, Ya Allah, on this path of love, on this path of muhabba and mahbubiyya. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.